All right, let's go back there to Psalm 16. Look at verse 6. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. And then look at verse 9. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Now the man speaking here is a happy man. This is a happy man. He's a contented man. Now, is that common among men? Is that a common thing among men? Is it common that men are content and men are satisfied, that they're full of joy? Usually those who appear to have the most reason to be happy and to be full of joy are the ones who complain most about what their lot in life is. But the man speaking in our text here is a happy man. He's content. This man is satisfied. I want to know his secret. I want to know what it is that has made this man content and happy. Is anybody interested in the secret to contentment and happiness? That's our subject. Him too, Art. That's our subject. Secret to contentment and happiness. Now, before we go any further, let's see who this man is that's so happy. Look at verse 8. He says, I have set the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Now, in Acts chapter 2 and in verse 25, Peter said, David speaketh concerning the Lord Jesus when he said, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for He's on my right hand that I should not be moved. So this one who's speaking, this happy man, is the God-man. This is the Lord Jesus Christ who's speaking. Was it his circumstances in life that made him so content and so full of happiness? Well, this was his lot in life. The Scripture says he's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. No, it wasn't his circumstances around him. He didn't even own a piece of property when he walked this earth. And yet he says there in verse 6, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I have a good inheritance, he said. And he never owned a piece of ground. What few friends he did have, they all left him when he needed them most. And yet he says, my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. So it wasn't anything around him. It wasn't anything, any of his circumstances. Christ's sorrows were far greater than anything you and I will ever encounter. We've not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. There's doubtful that any of us will ever be hung on a cross. And we certainly won't ever bear the sins of our brethren in our body. And we will not be forsaken, those who have been born of God's Spirit and blessed by God and robed in Christ's righteousness, we will never be forsaken of God and bear the wrath of God. Our affliction is very light compared to what Christ suffered. It's very light. Well, if Christ, who had the most sorrowful life that any man ever had, could have this contentment and this happiness, then it must be possible for us to have the same, whose lives are not nearly as bitter as his. So what is this secret of contentment and happiness? Well, first of all, it's to have the Lord as my inheritance. Look at verse 5. He said, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. And then secondly, it's to have the Lord as the portion of my cup. He says, and the Lord's the portion of my cup. And then thirdly is to trust that the Lord maintains my lot. Verse 5, he says, thou maintainest my lot. That's the secret to contentment and happiness. Now let's look at it. First of all, this secret to contentment and happiness is to have the Lord as the portion of my inheritance. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking, and he says of the Lord God Jehovah, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. Now, to help us to understand who God is, what God is and what God is doing for His people, the Holy Spirit uses a metaphor here comparing the Lord to an inheritance. He's using a metaphor of an inheritance so we can understand what the Lord is to His people. When He says here, the Lord is my portion, the portion of my inheritance, portion means a part, separated out, that part given to me for my inheritance. The Lord God was Christ's part in two ways. He says here, first He said, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance. And then He says, and of my cup. So first of all, let's talk about how He was the inheritance of the Lord Jesus. An inheritance is a gift. And God, the Lord God, gave Himself as a gift, as an inheritance to Christ when He walked this earth. The Lord is the part, He's the portion of mine inheritance, He said. As Christ walked this earth, as the God-man mediator, He had the strongest contentment and the greatest happiness in the Lord God. That was where all His contentment and all His happiness came from. And Christ's happiness was in looking forward to the day when He would receive that inheritance promised to Him. And that inheritance was, first of all, to see His Father glorified and to see Himself glorified in Him. And secondly, to have His people with Him in glory. That was the inheritance promised to Him. So He says here, the one who's keeping me, the one who's keeping me content and happy is the Lord. He's my portion. He's my inheritance. He was looking forward to being with His Father in glory and having that inheritance. That's why as soon as Christ came into the earth, He said, I must be about my Father's business. And He didn't stop. He didn't kick back and relax and sit down until He was able to say, it is finished. I finished my Father's business. Then He sat down. When He had by Himself purged our sins, then He sat down, but not until then. The Lord, being Christ's inheritance, teaches us that Christ is the great high priest of all God's elect, and that we who believe have been made priests by Him so that the Lord is our inheritance. It teaches us He's our great high priest, the high priest of all God's elect, and He teaches us that in Him, in our high priest, what He's done, having made us priests, the Lord is also our inheritance. Turn over to Numbers 18, and hold your place there. I'm going to come back to it. Numbers 18 and verse 20. We learn that this about Christ being a high priest when we start speaking of inheritance, because this is what God said to the priests in the days of the Levites. Numbers 18, verse 20. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. Now hold your place here. Aaron is a high priest. And Aaron, as the high priest, is a picture of Christ. Now, Aaron and his brethren, the Levites, God gave them no inheritance among the Israelites, among the other tribes. He gave them no inheritance like He did the other Israelites, because God was their portion. God was their inheritance. It pictured Christ, our high priest. Aaron, the high priest, pictured Christ, our high priest, and his brethren who were priests, pictures those, the elect of God, believers whom Christ has made priests. We don't have any inheritance in this land. Our inheritance is not like the world's inheritance. We don't have what everybody else in this world has, because the believer's inheritance is the Lord. The Lord is our inheritance. But believer, listen, because the Lord is Christ's inheritance, and Christ desired to see God glorified, He's our high priest. He desired to see God glorified. And because of this, because Christ is our high priest and He desired to see God glorified and His people saved, Christ finished the work that God gave Him to do. He completely, totally fulfilled all righteousness for God and for His people, so that God is just And all his elect in Christ have been made the righteousness of God. Look at Hebrews 9 with me. Stay there in Numbers 18, but hold your place there. But look at Hebrews 9. We're talking about this thing of inheritance. And we're looking at a high priest, what God said to his priests during the old dispensation. And let's look here in Hebrews 9 and look at verse 11. It says here, Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is to say, not of this building, not like that Old Testament tabernacle, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, into God's presence, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now that's what Christ, as our high priest, that's what he accomplished. Because the Lord was his inheritance, and his people was his inheritance, and he did this for his people. And then, therefore, each and every believer born of God the Holy Spirit, given faith in Christ, are fully righteous. Fully righteous. We must be holy for God to accept us. We must be holy for God to accept us. And by what Christ has done for us, by the Spirit of God regenerating us and sanctifying us from darkness into His light, from the realm of flesh into the Spirit, from being outside of Christ to in Christ, vitally uniting us to Christ. Brethren, we have been made holy. Holy, so God can receive us. He, by His one offering, He has perfected forever them that are sanctified. So now, God accepts us in the Beloved. In the Beloved. Now, we are God's inheritance. We're His spiritual Jacob. We're His spiritual Israel. We're His chosen, peculiar treasure. He said in Psalm 135:4, the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself and Israel for his peculiar treasure. And Peter quoted that from that verse, applying it to Gentiles, which all of us sitting here are. We who've been born of his Spirit are God's elect Gentiles. And Peter said, you're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a peculiar people that you should show forth the praises of Him who's called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people. It didn't even appear during this day of the Levitical priesthood. It didn't even appear like the Gentiles were a people. We were outside of Israel. But now are a people, he says, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And God our Savior and His Son Jesus Christ is our inheritance. We're His peculiar treasure. We're His inheritance. And He is our inheritance. We can say with Christ, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. Now, brethren, contentment and happiness is not outward in the flesh. It's not outward in the flesh. It's not in the circumstances that surround us. That's not contentment and happiness. And that's what we look at most. We usually look at those things to judge whether we're content or whether we're happy. The joy that this world gives is joy in a fleeting, perishing, vanishing substance of clay. The joy that God gives is that we are complete in Christ and united to Him inseparably and forever His people. That's the joy that Christ gives in the heart. Now, look here at verse 7 in our text. This inward, it's an inward thing. It's an inward contentment. He says there in verse 7, I will bless the Lord who's given me counsel. He's taught me in the heart. So my reins, my inward parts, my new man also instructs me in the night season. He's taught me in the heart now. There's no greater peace than knowing I am my beloved's and He's mine. This is a heart thing. It's not outward. Now that's the first thing we see. The Lord is our portion. He's our inheritance. There's contentment. There's happiness in knowing that. He's my inheritance. Because if He's my inheritance, all right, it means you're His inheritance. And He's not going to lose what belongs to Him. Now, secondly, the secret to contentment and happiness is knowing that the Lord's the portion of my cup. Now, this is the second way the Lord was Christ's portion. The Lord, verse 6, the Lord is the portion of my cup. Christ knew that everything that came his way as he walked this earth, each day and every hour, was from the Lord his God. It was from his God his Father. Every sweet blessing that he received, Christ knew was measured out and put into his cup from the Lord. Every blessing. This also is pictured in Numbers 18. Look back there with me. Numbers 18. Now the Lord stated, first of all, you'd have no inheritance in the land because I'm your inheritance. Now watch this. This cup has to do with our daily blessings. This cup has to do with what he gives us daily, hourly, as we walk in this earth. Now, Aaron's the high priest, and his brethren are the priests of Levi. God provided all their daily needs and filled their cup, giving them the tenth in all of Israel. Look at verse 21. Numbers 18:21. Behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now get this. God gave his priests a tenth of everything in Israel. Of everything. Of the harvest and of the vintage. That means a tenth of the wheat, a tenth of the barley, a tenth of the oil, a tenth of the wine. Everything was given to them, freely given to them from God. And here was, they were the least of all the tribes, Levi was. And yet, they had the greatest share of increase of all the land. And they had this without any labor done on their part and without any expense on their part whatsoever. That's what we have. That's what we have. Daily, that's what we have. God has given us our inheritance, not by our works, not by works we've done, but because of the service of Christ Jesus our Lord on our behalf. And we may be the least in the earth. We may be a remnant in the earth. And yet we possess more than any people over this whole face of this globe. That's true of the believer. God's given it to us. Look down at verse 24. Now this is, note this now, God has given it to us. Now look, verse 24. But the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as a heave offering unto the Lord. That's how they came into God's house. The Israelites gathered them all up. They gathered the first fruits. They brought them and they made a heave offering before the Lord. Christ is pictured in that first fruit. They gave them, and then all the rest of the fruits were sanctified in those heave offerings. They brought them and gave them to the Lord. But the Lord says now, they're mine to do with what I will, and I'm giving them to you. So they didn't come from the hand of the Israelites. They came from the hand of the Lord to his people. That's what he's saying here. The tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as a heave offering unto the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore, I have said unto them among the children of Israel, they shall have no inheritance. Now turn over to Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18. And let me tell you what God is saying there to them and what it meant for them. All of those sacrifices were God's. God provided them. God made the seed grow. God made the crops productive. God did everything involved to make those, to make them have a bountiful harvest and a bountiful vintage. He did everything. It was God's producing. And then they were offered to God. They were given to God. So of those things which belong to God, God provided for the Levites, for his priests, with everything that they needed to live, giving to them that which was his, the sacrifices which were his. Now look at Deuteronomy 18:1. The priests, the Levites, and all the tribe of Levi shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the offerings of the Lord, made by fire, and his inheritance. You see, it's his inheritance. It's his offering they're partaking of. Therefore shall they have no inheritance among their brethren. The Lord is their inheritance, as he has said unto them. Now get the picture here. Be sure to get the picture. The tenth part of the heave offerings, of everything that God commanded to be brought, that tenth part, and all those offerings that were burnt by fire, these were, some of the stuff was heaved, like the wheat and things like that, and the grapes and the oil and all this stuff. And then some of the meat offerings were brought, and they were brought to be burned. And then, but from all of that, God provided for these Levites. Now look at the picture. God provided Christ. He provided Christ. And Christ gave himself to God to perfect his people, to declare God righteous, just like those sacrifices were given to God. And then God is Christ's inheritance. That's what Christ said there in the beginning. The Lord is my portion. He's my inheritance. God is Christ's inheritance. And Christ is God's inheritance, just like those sacrifices were. God said, this is my inheritance. All this stuff they're bringing is mine. Well, Christ is God's inheritance, and he's pictured in all those offerings and in that burnt offering. So, believer, God fills our cup, providing all we need on a daily basis by giving us of his inheritance, which is Christ Jesus, which is pictured in all these offerings and these heave offerings and these burnt offerings. Therefore, our inheritance and the provision of our daily cup is not the inheritance of this world. It's the Lord God provided for us by Christ Jesus. That's what our inheritance is. Daily as we walk this earth, by Christ, by Him coming to where we are and giving Himself. He's that burnt offering who suffered the fire of God's divine justice. And because He suffered that in our room instead, our cup runs over. Our cup runs over because of what He's done. The fire of justice is satisfied toward us. God is just to show us abundant mercy. It's ours for what He's done. And we're complete in Christ for what He's done. And not only that, as far as our daily cup goes and what we need on a daily basis, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Do you see it pictured in these offerings? That's why He says, I'm your inheritance. Preachers are whipping poor sinners with the law and trying to force them to tithe and to tithe. And sadly, religious folks are tithing. They're giving a tenth of everything and thinking God's going to receive them because of that. But the truth of the matter is, we preach Christ, who is the pictured in the tenth. He's the one pictured in all the offerings. And by His work in the heart of His people, by filling our cup Himself and making our cup to run over, He makes His people generous and willing to give above a tenth because we're constrained by His love, not by law. Because we've come to Christ, who's the end of the law for righteousness, because He is our righteousness. We don't have to go to the law for righteousness. We have Christ our righteousness now. Turn over to John 18. John chapter 18. This is why whenever Nadab and Abihu came to the house of the Lord, they came irreverent. They came with strange fire. They came snubbing their nose at God. And God killed them on the spot. He killed them on the spot. And Aaron couldn't open his mouth about it. He kept silent. He kept silent because they came with the wrong offering. They came with the wrong attitude. They came with a totally different spirit. But look at this in John 18. When Christ said, the Lord is the portion of my cup, He meant not only blessing, but also sorrows and sufferings. He not only gives us the cup of blessing, He gives us the cup of sorrow and affliction. Christ knew the things that caused Him to suffer, were measured and put into His cup by the Lord God. And therefore Christ took that cup and He drank it. Look at John 18:10. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his ear. The servant's name was Malchus. You know the scene. They've come to arrest the Lord. And the Lord said, let these go. Let these go. Take me and let them go, that it might be fulfilled in the Scriptures. He didn't lose one that the Lord gave him. And so, here he stands now, and Peter draws his sword out, and Peter smites off this servant's ear. And look at what the Lord tells him. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? He's the portion of my cup. He fills my cup with blessing, yes, but He also fills it with suffering and affliction. We don't want to drink that cup that causes us suffering. We don't usually want to drink of that cup. We do like Peter, we wield the sword. But Christ said, my Father gave this cup to me. Shall I not drink it? Shall I not drink it? Contentment and happiness is not outward in the flesh. And that's what God is teaching us when He gives us the cup of chastening. It's not in the flesh. Chastening causes sorrow and it causes suffering to our flesh because it cuts against our fleshly sinful wants. That's what it does. But though it caused sorrow and suffering in Christ's perfect flesh, His contentment wasn't in the flesh either. His contentment, His happiness was inward. It was knowing that it was His Father that gave Him this cup. Doesn't that make the cup easier to drink when you know whatever suffering we enter into, whatever affliction we enter into, the Lord gave me this cup to drink. He gave me this cup. That makes it easier to bear. He found great happiness in serving His Father, even drinking that bitter cup, because He knew the Lord gave Him that cup. It was necessary. In order for God to be just and to justify His people, Christ had to drink that cup. Christ's inward contentment and happiness was knowing it was for God's glory. God's going to be glorified through this. He knew the exaltation of Christ was going to come about because of this. He knew the salvation of His people, which both meant it was for Christ's good. We're always saying that this is for God's glory and our good. Christ knew it was for God's glory and His good. It was how He was going to be exalted. It was how His people were going to be saved. And so He drank this cup. He submitted to the Father's wisdom in giving Him this cup this way to go to that cross. And it afterward, after He drank it, you know what it yielded? It yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness because all His people are made righteous by what He did. Now, you know what happens when God gives us this cup? And He doesn't give us the cup He gave to Christ. Christ has drank the cup of God's fury dry so that you and I won't ever drink that cup. We won't ever drink the cup. Justice is satisfied. God has been honored. His justice has been honored. And now He's merciful to us. We won't drink that cup. But when we drink the cup of chastening at the hand of our faithful Father, you know what happens? God is glorified. Christ is exalted. Our brethren are saved. And it's for our good. Just like it happened when Christ did it. And after we drink of the cup, you know what it yields? The Scripture says it yields the peaceable fruit unto righteousness in those who are exercised thereby. That's what it does. And always remember, brethren, contentment and happiness is inward in the new man, knowing in our heart it's the Lord that has filled our cup for those very reasons. Always for those reasons. Upon the wicked He shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. But Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. That's the portion of His people's cup. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I'll drink this cup. It doesn't seem to us, does it, like whenever we suffer, we come into some just mundane thing that we're going through in our life, and we fall into this suffering, and it's a heavy trial on us, we don't think that's working toward our salvation. But it is. It is. God's going to, by that, show us, remind us, turn us, somehow bring us to the feet of Christ, our salvation. Every time. Every time. And so that's why it's always good for us. Now, so here's the third thing. Now, the secret to contentment and happiness is knowing the Lord shall always maintain our lot. Look at verse back in our text, Psalm 16, verse 5. Thou maintainest my lot. That's the third thing. Christ knew. He knew after He bore the sin of His people in His body. And He went to that cross, and God forsook Him justly. And darkness covered the whole world. And he cried out, "It's finished." And after he had borne the sins of his people away, after he had satisfied justice, after he had accomplished this for his father, he knew that when he went into that grave, his father was going to justify him and raise him from the grave. Let's look at this, Isaiah 50 and verse 6. Isaiah 50 and verse 6. The Lord, he knew, would maintain his lot. He said this in Isaiah 50 and verse 6, "I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who shall contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me." And God did what he said he would. God did what the Savior expected him to do. Psalm 2:6 says, "Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion." When he finished the work, God raised him from the dead. And Christ said this. Look back at Psalm 9 and verse 4. This is why he raised Christ. He says, "For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne judging right." That's why he did it. When justice was satisfied, God said enough, and he turned back his enemies and he raised Christ from the dead. He justified him just like he said he would. Now, when you suffer wrongly, 1 Peter 3:9 says this, "Don't render evil for evil, or railing for railing." You know what railing for railing is? Yak, 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 and you go yak, 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 yak right back. That's railing for railing. Railing for railing. Contrarywise, render blessing. That's what he said. Render blessing. "Knowing that ye are thereunto called." That's what you're called to do. "That you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it." Why? Here's why. We're talking about the Lord will maintain my lot. We're talking about I know the Lord's going to maintain my lot. He's going to take care of me. He's going to hedge me about. He's going to provide for me. Here's what Peter said. "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers." He's maintaining the lot of his people. He's sitting in the judgment, judging our cause, and judging rightly. That's what he's doing. "But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." We don't like to be corrected, do we? We don't like that. We get all in our little corner, in our little heart, and we decide, you know, "I'm going to show them." But God says, don't show them. God says, render a blessing, because his eyes are upon you. His eyes know how to judge right for you and to do what's needful for you. All right, now, Christ's lot was his people as well. And he knew, he trusted, not only would God maintain his lot, but he would maintain the lot of his people as well. And God not only maintained his lot and the lot of his people, he raised Christ so that Christ himself could maintain the lot of his people. That's what in Isaiah 53:12 it says, "Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great." God raised Christ his son up and gave him a portion with the great God. That's what he did. He raised his son, Christ Jesus, and gave him a portion with the great, true and living God. "And he," Christ, "shall divide the spoil with the strong," with his people. His weak, helpless people who have no ability in themselves to save themselves or do one thing for themselves. That's who is strong, because his strength is made perfect in our weakness. He shows us his strength when we are utterly weak and incapable of doing anything. He divides the inheritance with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. That's why God gave him this glorious privilege. It's his. He bought it. It's his right. Now, here's the other thing. For you who he's called and made joint heirs with him, this is good right here now. Remember, it's the Lord God our Savior and his Son Jesus Christ that maintaineth our light. And he's not like other gods. He's not like the vain gods of men's imagination. This is what Jeremiah 10:15 says. They are vanity and the works of errors. In the time of their visitation, they shall perish. The portion of God's elect is not like them. For he, our portion, our inheritance, is the former of all things. He's the former of all things. And Israel, that's us, his elect, is the rod of his inheritance. The rod. In other words, we're his inheritance. And it says, the Lord of hosts is his name. Our inheritance is the former of all things. He is the one who made all things. He's the one who upholds all things and rules all things. And by him all things consist. And we're his inheritance. And he's the Lord of hosts. He has the hosts of his creation at his disposal to use as he will to maintain our lot and do for us what is best for us. It's a whole lot smarter to trust the Lord God, Christ our Savior, who knows the feeling of our infirmities, who says, come to my throne of grace, and I'll give you grace to help in time of need. I'll teach you as you need to be taught in your time of need. That's a whole lot smarter to come and unleash our tongue to him, confessing to him our troubles and our need and our what's got us cast down, than it is to turn around and render railing upon our adversary. A whole lot smarter to come to him. Now turn over to Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. You're going to like this right here. Deuteronomy 32. Because he's the Lord of hosts, that means he's ruling everything in this earth for the well-being of his chosen, redeemed people. He's maintaining our lot, and everything shall one day, the whole lot, one day will be ours. Now listen to this. We see it pictured here after the flood. When God confounded the languages and he divided the nations, when he did that, men didn't just run out and take what they wanted and take how much they wanted and form themselves a nation. That's not how it happened. God gave them what they could have. God gave them what they could have. He allotted a portion to the nations. Look at this now. Deuteronomy 32, verse 8. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, it was a temporary inheritance he gave them. Now listen, when he, the Most High, divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people. And here's how he said it. According to the number of the children of Israel. Why? Because the Lord's portion is his people. We've been looking at how the Lord's our portion, but he set the bounds of the people according to the number of Israel, because the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. Now get this, God put the land into the hands of Canaan and his 11 sons. God put it into their hands, that land of Canaan, to possess only as their temporary inheritance, so that they could live on it as tenants and take care of it, and groom it, and keep it well producing for him, until the time when he brought his chosen people to that land and kicked out the tenants and gave it to his people. That's what God did. Just as God measured out, set the bounds before, when he broke their languages up, scattered them, he set the bounds that would be sufficient to hold all of his people, when they came, when those 12 tribes came, and it was time to give them that inheritance, he set the bounds. He maintained their lot using his enemies nations, people who didn't even know Him and didn't know what they were doing in the earth or what their purpose was in this world. They got their vain gods. They made up gods in their minds and they're worshiping them and going about their day to day and they have no idea what God's doing with them. And He's using them to maintain the lot of His people so that when time comes, that land would be just the right size. You ever gone and just read in Joshua, and it seemed boring to read when you just read about, and the land went from the Red Sea to this point and back across this mountain to this point, and that was given to Dan. And this portion over here, and you read, I mean, it's exact. The Lord set the bounds, and He did that back there in Noah's day when He divided it to them. And He let Canaan and his 11 sons take care of it until that time. Well, brethren, this is the truth. God has put the earth into the hands of a people cursed of God. Just like Canaan was. And they get to enjoy it, just like Canaan did. And ought to be seeking God while they got the chance to seek God, while they have the time to seek God, while He may be found. So when it comes time for God to kick them off the land and give it to His people, it will be no injustice in God. There will be no injustice with God. And just like God provided Canaan for natural Israel long before they came into existence, our heavenly inheritance was not only promised, it was prepared, provided, secured, and reserved for God's spiritual Israel before the foundation of the world from eternity. It's appointed according to the number of His elect children. And there will be room in our heavenly inheritance for every single elect child of God because God has set the bounds of it. And there are many mansions there that Christ has prepared for each son of His glory. And you know what's going to happen? When God gets finished, He's going to make a new heavens and a new earth. And everything you see around us now, that the 1% owns, you know what they're doing? They're taking care of it for us. That's exactly what He said. That's exactly what Canaan did for Israel. They were taking care of Canaan for Israel. And that's exactly what men are doing with the earth. They're taking care of it for His people. That's all. And God is maintaining our lot by the hands of men that have no idea what they're doing, that they're serving God. No idea. So remember this. Go home with this. Here's the secret to contentment and happiness. It's knowing, it's having the Lord as the portion of my inheritance. I'm going to inherit the Lord, and He's going to inherit me. Seems like I'm getting a better deal, don't it? I'm inheriting the Lord. He's going to inherit me. But in Christ, we're holy and righteous. We can see eye to eye. And number two, the Lord's the portion of my cup. Whatever I have given to me in this life, He's given it to me. And number three, the Lord is maintaining my lot. Now, look back at our text in Psalm 16. If you believe this, if you believe Christ, if you trust Christ, you believe the Lord, then you can say this, verse 6, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places, yea, I have a goodly heritage. A goodly inheritance. How good? In Isaiah 53:17, He said, no weapon that's formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. That's how good. And so, lastly, knowing these things, here's what you do. Everybody wants something to do after they hear a message. Here's something to do right here. Do what Christ did. Let's live with the Lord ever before our face. Look at verse 8. I've set the Lord always before me. I said to you before, He didn't set the Roman government before Him and sanctify them and exalt them in His mind and in His heart. He set the Lord before Him and exalted the Lord in His heart and in His mind, knowing the Lord's going to maintain my life. Set the Lord before your face. And doing so, let us rest assured. Verse 8, because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. That's the secret to contentment and happiness. Amen.